You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chris in the chat goes, what offense has Ben talking about? Last 10 games, we've got three games where they've scored more than four runs. You're going to have some ups and downs. I mean, overall, I'd say offensively, they've gotten off to a better start than last year.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the stats, the overall stats in terms of like runs scored, better than last year. Does anyone remember how much they struggled in putting runs across the plate last year?
Terrible.
It was really, really awful.
Well, it's funny too. And listen, you know, I'm tired of tipping my hat to good teams and good pitchers. At some point, you know, I'd like to see the $90 million guys at the top of the order.
They're still fourth in runs scored in all of baseball.
Yeah.
This year.
Again, we know some of the reasoning behind that as well.
This is not an excuse. I'm telling you, the pitching is the problem.
Yeah,
that's what I think is the problem with the Padres right now.
And what I said over the weekend, or what I said on Friday to Paulie too, and to Kyle Glazer who filled in for you. He was great, by the way. I said I'd like to see them play cleanly. You know, I just want to see some clean baseball. Well, they played cleanly.
No errors all weekend
in the last four games, and now. Didn't really matter. They're just not getting knocks. And again, I think the days of me tipping my hat to the Ranger Suarez's of the world and the Aaron Nolas are gone. I don't care anymore. I'm tired of excuses for this team. You know, again, they don't pay $30 million contracts a year to guys that can't hit number ones and number twos. That's, in fact, why you get that money. That's why you get that money. Find me a guy that has only beat up on fours and fives his entire career, and they say, here's $30 million a year, here's $25 million a year, $28 million a year, whatever. You know, I'm out of excuses. Yeah, sometimes you're going to face a good pitcher. They're facing good pitchers, too. They find a way to win. We can't hit home runs at Petco Park. They find a way to do it. Find a way. I think that's what the fan base is really screaming. Find a way to get this thing back on track tonight against the Reds.
Well, Saturday night's game, as you mentioned, was the Dylan Cease versus Ranger Suarez game. And, I mean, you can say you don't want to tip the cap to Ranger Suarez.
He's really doing that
to everybody.
He is.
It's, you know, there are other, you know, well-paid players that also have struggled against Ranger Suarez, who extended his hitless or his scoreless inning streak to 32 innings on Saturday night.
Sure.
That's not just the Padres.
Nope.
That's been basically what he's been doing for the past 3 weeks in all of his games, and the Padres didn't solve him like other teams had not solved him. I think you were hoping that Dylan Cease would come in and be the stopper that he had been so far this season, off to a really good start, but right-handers had basically been unable to do anything against Dylan Cease. They got to him, though, just a little bit. You know, Trey Turner blooped a couple of in, and then that set up a couple of bigger hits in that game on Saturday night when the Padres were hoping to bounce back. And, you know, you got to stop these losing streaks, nip them in the bud before they really get out of hand. You certainly showed an inability to string together a bunch of wins, so you really have to avoid a long losing streak at the same time.
You got to find a way to get those salvageable games. You know, the Sunday one yesterday, as much as, you know, no one wanted to hear us coming and be like, oh, yeah, I love that fight yesterday. No, that's not going to happen because you got the L. It doesn't really matter how hard you fought at the end of the day. After pretty much rolling over the first two nights, Benny, and then Saturday was a rough one for the big three there. 0-for-11 with 6 strikeouts. I mean, you're not going to win any games that way. You're just not. You're not going to win games. You're not going to beat good pitching when your best three hitters are 0-for-11 with 6 Ks. It's just not going to happen. So I don't know what to I don't know what to say other than those guys need to step up.
Yeah, you could point out that Adrian Morejon continues to look good in relief.
Really good.
Doesn't really matter that he's good at keeping you four runs down.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
I mean, that's nice, but ultimately, if you're not going to mount a big comeback, that's really pointless baseball. Those are pointless stats that you're amassing at the end of the game, and you can hope that maybe he'll do it in a higher leverage situation at some point. And I think we can have the discussion about whether it's time to start, you know, trying Adrian Morejon in some higher leverage situations, or even think about putting him into the starting rotation at some point. It looks like Yu Darvish is on the comeback trail. Mike Shildt wouldn't go so far as to say he's ready to return when his next turn in the rotation, I think, comes up tomorrow. But he didn't rule out the possibility, said they'd make an announcement today. He did throw, and he said felt good coming out of his throwing sessions. So hopefully the Padres will get Yu Darvish back. But I think there is an argument to be made that Adrian Morejon is starting to earn an opportunity to get at least bigger and more important innings for the San Diego Padres the way he's been throwing so far.
Big year for him, as we said in spring training. A huge, huge year for Adrian Morejon. So 3 innings, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, 5 Ks, ERA 0.93. That's pretty good. Pretty good. And you see Ranger Suarez, and you see kind of how his development has been with the Phillies. They were using him out of the bullpen. Now they've converted him to a starter, and he looks pretty good. And their stuff isn't that dissimilar, you know, between those two guys. So, that'd be an idea, certainly. Not going to get any worse than what we have right now. But, yeah, I mean, scratched out, what, 3 hits? Profar, Sugar gets a knock, then gets picked off.
I didn't see that.
Eggy with a bomb. Like, again, Eggy, Sugar, and Profar doing everything they can against a tough pitcher. And top of our order was 1-for-14. Xander K'd 3 times. Like, it's frustrating. Or as my friend Blake Snell would say, it's frustrating.
Frustrating.
It's so.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
I was so frustrated by it.
Tegan Woods can be frustrating.
It can be.
For the both Woods and for
me,
the tier ones. But if you want to take a shot at qualifying for a trip to Las Vegas, this is the time to call in. We're going to play here in a couple of minutes. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. The struggles for Xander Bogaerts, obviously Mike Shildt finally moved him out of the leadoff spot. I see fans that go, you got to bench Xander. I have no problem with giving him a day off, you know, here or there. I still don't know what you can do, though, what the answer is. Because it's not to simply release Xander Bogaerts. You can't.
No,
there's absolutely no way. Maybe if he continues to struggle for another 5 years, you can... you can start thinking about making a move like that, but you're certainly not doing it in the month of April in 2024 when you just signed him to a 9-year contract. So there's not a lot of wiggle room when it comes to Xander Bogaerts. He must start playing better.
Yep.
And really the only way he's going to play better is if you play him.
Yeah.
You can't just bury him on the bench until the end of the contract and, you know, in 8 years you go, thanks for your service to the team of sitting on the bench for the last 8 years. He is going to play. He's going to play almost every day out there for the San Diego Padres.
And our fearless leader, Adam, in the chat says, who are you benching him for?
Right.
Like, everybody needs a day, I get it. But if you're like, we're going to bench you for a couple games, get your head right. Then who are you putting in there?
Tyler Wade, I mean,
I mean, Jake can play second, and Profar can now play first. But then you're just putting a Zokar out in the outfield. There's not a huge upgrade to be had. The only possibility is to play Xander Bogaerts and hope that he plays his way out of his struggles and starts to show himself to be the player that he was in Boston for so many years.
I mean, I can see it now. He struggles here. For the next 8 years, they end up trying to trade him for a player. He declines that because he's got a no-trade clause. They end up releasing him. They end up paying him $28 million for 2 years, and then he goes on local podcasts and tries to rehab his image. I mean, it's like this thing has played out before, just for double the money, right? Throws everybody else under the bus, and I've seen this play out. I've seen it. I'm seeing it right now as we speak.
I do think Xander acknowledges that he has to be better, though. I don't think Xander's satisfied with his performance so far.
I don't think so either.
That would be my only
the difference?
Shred of hope and difference there. That Xander's not happy with how he performed so far and knows he needs to be better for the San Diego Padres. He wants to be better.
All right.
It's just been a struggle.
I would like my wife to make out with Paige Spiranak. Okay? I want that.
Still need a contestant.
I don't
for
think
take
it's going to happen.
833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Padre guy says Xander will come around. I mean, that's normally how it happens.
It is.
When players have a long track record, and they're not 37 years old and over the hill completely, like maybe a Nelson Cruz or a Matt Carpenter. When they're just 30, 31, and they've had a really long track record of being good, usually these slumps, even the extended ones, tend to be temporary, and they go back to being the player that they were before. Unless something significant has changed about that person, that's how baseball players just tend to operate. Unless there's an injury we're not hearing about, and Xander has said, hey, no, feel good, not blaming the wrist like last year
probably
was an issue.
Probably wishes he could blame the wrist.
Probably
you know?
Does. You know, that is generally how these things do go in baseball. Now, do you expect him to be a 35 home run guy at Petco Park? I don't.
I would like to see a 5 home run guy at Petco Park at this point. 5 home runs would be fantastic.
But until it happens.
5 at Petco, 7 on the road.
Get
me your 12.
You really have no other choice but to continue to play him. And I know that's frustrating to Padres fans who, when things aren't going well, I understand the desire of fans. They want to see some sort of change. They want to see the manager take action for a team that is struggling. But there aren't that many actions that you can take, especially early in a baseball season. Does everyone kind of understand where I'm coming from?
I do.
From a logic standpoint, that there aren't significant moves to be made at this point for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, especially when it pertains to a $280 million player. It just can't. It's not going to happen. You can wish it all you want. I saw a guy the other day say he needs to make him go run sprints. So what? Mike Schilt's going to go out and make Xander Bogaerts run sprints. That'll teach him to be a better hitter. We're not in high school anymore, man. You know better than that. These are professional athletes. He's got to figure it out. The only way for him to do it is to play. Now, certainly doesn't need to hit leadoff for this team. Maybe he doesn't even need to hit 5. Maybe he needs to hit 7. It happens. Nick Castellanos was a 2-3-hole hitter for the Phillies. Where was he hitting all weekend? 7. Why? Because he's struggling. He makes a ass load of money, too. I don't care about anybody's ego anymore. What's best for the team? Do what you have to do to find a way to win ball games. That's it. It's all anybody cares about.
All right, last chance for Take on Woods today. 833-288-0973. No takers this morning.
No,
really? Want to try to qualify.
We got one?
Okay. I've got nothing on my board.
Oh, your screen must not be
working. My screen is broken.
Full calls.
No wonder I am so confused over here. My screen is broken. Thank you, Polly. Let's play. All right.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
Oh, Polly, thank you. I had no idea. I was going, why?
We always have
like 6 people who call in at least. And the
late.
Phone lines are lining up, and I'm just waiting for someone to call
and
in.
And of course, now our caller hung up.
My board is completely empty. Right. Let's go to, who is this?
You're
on
Roger.
The air. Roger, you're on the air. Roger, welcome back to Take on Woods. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Welcome back, Ben.
Good to have you. All right, thank you for calling in. Let's get right to it. If you can beat or tie Woods here at the end of the month, we'll get you into the drawing for the 2-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and the tickets to Cool and the Gang. Check out the Westgate $70 million in room renovations and get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. Take on Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. All right, here are your categories, Roger. We've got SEX, 5 song titles, and artists that begin with the word sex. We've got mystery category, and we've got On the Money, 5 song titles or artists with the word money in there. So SEX, mystery category, or On the Money, Roger?
Let's do the mystery.
The mystery category. All right, so this is how it works. This is the 20th mystery category we've done. All of today's song titles begin with the same word. That word is also the title of our two-second song. So when Pauly plays the music, give me that word and the artist for that point, and then remember that every other song starts with the same word. Roger, you ready to play?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock in the mystery category. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Roger. Let's take on Woods.
I don't know. I have to pass.
All right. Rob Hyman is the male singer providing backup vocals on which 1984 debut hit for Cyndi Lauper?
Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Incorrect. Which bluesy 1964 song by the Rolling Stones, their first to reach the top 10 in the United States, is actually a cover of a song written by a little-known American record producer? Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Time Is on My Side.
Correct. Written after finding out his wife Ingrid was pregnant, which Jim Croce classic reached number one on the charts after the singer died in a plane crash? Correct. Which 1969 hit did the Zombies ask the question, "What's your name? Who's your
season?"
Correct. Go back to our 2 second song. You should know the title.
Closing Time.
It's not. No. Rob, and you already got the other one wrong. So you either get three, and the mystery category is Time. That was Time by Hootie and the Blowfish. And, of course, the Cyndi Lauper hit is Time After Time. But you did get the other three. Time Is on My Side, Time in a Bottle, and Time of the Season. So three. Hang on the line there, Roger. Tough category. We'll see how Woodsy does. All right, we'll reset everything. 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Roger.
Time, Hootie and the Blowfish.
Correct. Rob Hyman is the male singer providing backup vocals on which 1984 debut hit for Cyndi Lauper?
Time After Time.
Correct. Which bluesy 1964 song by the Rolling Stones, their first to reach the top 10 in the United States?
Time Is on My Side.
Correct. Written after finding out his wife Ingrid was pregnant, which Jim Croce classic reached number one on the charts?
Time In a Bottle.
Correct. Which 1968 hit did the Zombies ask the questions, "What's your
time
name?
Time of the Season."
Wow.
Well done.
Wow.
Jim who?
Jim Croce.
No, the last one. Tim what?
Time of the Season?
No, the Cyndi Lauper.
Time After Time.
Yeah, what was the
Rob
guy's name?
Hyman?
Oh, thank you.
Is that not his name?
No.
Yeah, what's his name? Roger, thank you for playing, but Woodsy too tough to beat today in the mystery category. Roger didn't get the 2 second song, which the key was the title of that song was the first word of every other answer.
Took me a minute to
but
get
But you got
that
it,
one. Yeah.
Hootie.
I actually kind of like that Hootie song.
It's probably the
it's best. My it's probably yeah. my favorite Hootie song.
I don't disagree with
one
you
of
there.
One. Punish me. Everyone sung like Eddie Vedder in the 90s. I was listening to...
He did well. Why wouldn't they?
God. And everybody...
How don't I want to be with you?
Everybody can imitate him. Somebody told me, "Oh, you do a really good Eddie Vedder." I'm like, who doesn't? Who doesn't do a good Eddie Vedder? It's so good.
If you just listened kind of off to the side, you're like, oh, it's Pearl Jam.
Oh, I love Eddie Vedder. What is this? Listen.
Can't hear me about tomorrow.
I mean, it's just fantastic. Just like... Every guy in the 90s was like, here we go.
Don't Do This is coming up next. We have a lot of teams in town. You got the Legion, you got the Seals, you got the Sockers, the Gulls. Sometimes it's hard to break through the noise, but I don't know if this is the way to break through all the noise.
Yeah.
And why you want to be talked about on Ben and Woods.
You got us talking about you.
But we will talk about one of those local teams coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station. Back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this. Brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Do this. Thekrafttaco.com. I'll get us started. I don't even know if there's anyone to blame in this story. I just think it really sucks for the college athletes at the University of St. Catherine. Remember, they're located up in San Marcos. Sometimes they play like the Aztecs in basketball.
Yeah.
NAIA school.
We quiz Woods every time. Like, where is that school?
Where is that school? Yeah. The Firebirds. And just up and out of the blue on, I think it was Thursday night, and then they got the word Friday morning that the school has gone, like, bankrupt, and they have to close their doors to everybody, including, like, their beach volleyball team's playing for a national championship this weekend, and they just find out. Our school is closing, and we're all not only off our teams, but we have no more classes. They're not even sure they're going to have graduation, and all these athletes are going to have to find different places to go. It just the worst for everybody. I don't know exactly what happened or how the financial model failed, but it's just really, really unfortunate for those young college athletes who just get upended and what they are hoping to stick around for a couple of years. And I thought
so. It's the whole school.
It's not just the athletics program. It's the entire school.
So what
school.
About the students, man?
Yeah,
like,
the students.
Do you get credit for what you
have done already? Yeah, I mean, hopefully, I think they're right at the end of the semester.
That's
so
what
hopefully
I was
they
say.
At least
or
get to.
If you were having a bad semester, as somebody in this room most definitely would have been. Mom, Dad, sorry. I couldn't
closed.
Do it. My grades, I don't even remember what they were.
I don't know. I was at Texas Tech, and it just closed.
We'll try again next semester somewhere else.
They went under.
Yeah. Sucks, man. No, that's terrible, man.
Now, you don't hear that out of necessarily the giant four-year
right,
universities.
Right. Yeah,
like Stanford
tough.
Is yeah, probably
they're
not
solid,
in danger of
solid financial ground.
Closing their doors, but that is really unfortunate, and I felt bad when I saw that story for all the young students and athletes at University of St. Catherine in San Marcos.
Well, listen, Ben, you alluded to the fact that we have a lot of teams here in San Diego, and one of the teams, we've actually, when our pal Bert Grossman used to be the head coach of the San Diego Strike Force, it did unleash the best picture of all time. I still have it. Paulie gave it to me for Christmas. It's still in my home. Bert and his crew out in front of a Chili's going for a team dinner. There's never been a better picture on the internet. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry. Like, your life is unfulfilled. But Strikeforce were back in the news last night, Benny. As soon as I was, got my kids down early, as I tweeted, and I was just laying there, so happy, in the peace and quiet. And I started scrolling Twitter, as I do, looking for any last-minute stories, and I see this story come across of some huge brawl at Pechanga Arena where I had been on Friday night. Oh, my God. Players, coaches going into the stands. Just a minute left in the game between the San Diego Strikeforce and the Bay Area Panthers. Well, there was a fight that broke out in the stands between families. And it was like a full-scale brawl. The game stopped for a few minutes. Several players were rushing into the crowd, into the stands. The families were duking it out, throwing punches, the whole thing. The referee eventually ejected five players from the game for going into the stands in what he cited was based on the Indoor Football League rules. Some fans were escorted out during the incident as well, but it was an ugly, ugly scene. So the good news is none of the players were actually up there throwing hands.
Good.
They were trying to sort it out. Yeah, listen, I worked at Pechanga Arena during Seals games. Never had an issue. When somebody is, you know, pushing the glass or whatever, security comes, they take them out. I have heard that the security at the Strikeforce game is a little bit more lax, so that's something they may want to look at. But, you can't. I think in this case, like,
I get in the post Ron Artest world how you just have to have the firm rule. You can't, if you're a player, you cannot go into the stands under any circumstance. However, if I'm a player and I see my family member perhaps getting assaulted, like my mom or my sister or someone, and I just want to go up there just to kind of protect them and break it up, I'm not going to like come down with a giant suspension for someone who wasn't escalating, who was de-escalating, even if they got ejected. I don't think that's necessarily the wrong choice to make if you're going up there to try to protect family members and avoid bigger trouble. And if you're watching our YouTube stream, the team picture. Now, that's not the is that the real team picture or is that the new one?
No, that's the old one. That's Bert right there in the front. That's
there's Bert, yeah.
That's the greatest picture of all time.
Yep. That was like the OG Strikeforce.
Yeah, that was like the very first the year one Strikeforce. That photo hangs in my home to this day. It's a true story. Paulie framed it and gave it to me for Christmas, and it's one of my favorite gifts I've ever gotten.
My favorite are the guys who aren't actually looking at the camera.
The number three is my favorite. He's looking off into the distance.
Yeah, he's great. But there's the back right. If you go, if you scroll over, there's this guy.
He's talking to his buddy.
He's just chatting with the other guy.
It's just elite. It's an elite.
There's
photo.
Dodger hat guy.
Yeah, Dodger hat guy.
You're on a San Diego
and then there's
team,
Bert,
right?
Our beloved Bert Grossman. that's not really why you want to be in the news last night if you're the Strikeforce. But I think hopefully. Everybody is okay, and just got to make sure you watch that stuff, man.
Finally, a little doo-doo this from Monday.
DD mega doo-doo.
Probably a much too late doo-doo this, but Jeff Passan had the exclusive report yesterday.
Better late than never.
Yeah, Major League Baseball does finally plan to address the uniform fiasco that we heard a lot about during spring training. The see-through pants, the smaller letters, the cheaper-looking jerseys, the colors that didn't match on the grays, on the tops and the bottoms, all the issues that many, many players brought to the attention of Major League Baseball during spring training. Well, basically, MLB has thrown Nike under the bus for the whole thing. Not Fanatics, who makes the jersey, but they say Nike tried to innovate where no innovation was necessary. Hey, don't mess with a good thing. Uniforms were fine. And they tried to, you know, fancy them up and do some different things, and no one liked the result.
No one.
So Major League Baseball says that at the very latest, by the start of next season, they will go back to the uniforms that everyone thought were perfectly acceptable before this season. I don't know why they can't get it done even faster than that. How long does it actually take to manufacture uniforms for one team in one season?
I mean, I have no idea. It's a lot. There's a lot.
Now, for the marketing, like for everybody, you're selling, I can get why it might take some months to clear out inventory and change everything. But if you want to put the guys in the field in
your
uniforms,
ASAP.
Feels like you can get that done in a couple of weeks.
You got to do it ASAP.
Not wait until 2025. But they are going to make those changes after a memo.
A memo?
A memo was distributed.
Oh, yes.
A memo was distributed to players by the MLB Players Association yesterday. And that is Don't and Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we have to get into maybe the most concerning struggles so far this season. Can't ignore it any longer. But Joe Musgrove has not been Joe Musgrove.
No, it's a bummer.
And we don't know why exactly.
I don't know that he does either.
And that is even more concerning. That is coming up next as we go back to Friday night's series opening loss to the Phillies. Next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We talked earlier about how the Padres just need Xander Bogaerts to perform better. There's not really no way around that. There's no cheating the system. There's no replacements for Xander. There's no way to bench him permanently, release him, trade him. There's no options. You could pretty much say the same thing about Joe Musgrove right now as
yeah.
well. They just need him to be better. Normally, you know, you count on guys like that to perform. Talk about Friday night's unfortunate performance in the series opener as Joe again struggles with the long ball. Coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And so far this season, hitting 194 with six home runs. Sends this one in the air to very deep right field. Tatis back at the wall. Fernando will watch, and it will go. A moonshot that just drops down onto the home run deck beyond the right field fence. A leadoff homer for Kyle Schwarber, and the Phillies take a 1-0 lead.
Kyle Schwarber and Petco Park moonshots. Name a better combo.
It's we talked about it on the air. I gave his numbers on Friday, and I just said, you know, watch out for Kyle Schwarber. And first batter of the game, and you know,
fourth pitch of the series.
You get. We got to our seats. Had our Cracker Jacks and ready to go and watch. Manny was back watching him. It was so nice to see Manny back at third. And he was chatting up the umpire and the third base coach and just slinging missiles across the field. He gets tested in the first inning, too, which was great to see him back at third. It just was. It's a completely different player. That being said, yeah, you look up and you're like, all right, well, there goes that.
Sometimes the first batter doesn't indicate the tone for an entire series, but
that one did.
This
Sometimes
time
it does.
It absolutely did. It was the first of 9 home runs that the Padres allowed to the Philadelphia Phillies in the series, and Joe Musgrove unfortunately gave up 4 of them in 3 2/3 innings. 8 hits, 7 earned runs allowed. His ERA is up to almost 7 this season, and I think the biggest cause for concern is that there's no necessarily injury that's causing it. There is a small dip in velocity, but there's no real reason to explain it at the moment. Joe Musgrove simply has not been Joe Musgrove to start this year. And if he does not turn it around, the Padres don't really have the pitching depth this year to overcome one of their top, you know, most consistent performers not coming through. And I totally disagree with Jed in our chat, who says, oh, Musgrove has 60 career wins and 57 career losses. He's average at best, but the only thing Padres fans remember is the no-no. That is completely false. Joe's ERAs with the San Diego Padres, 3.18, 2.93, 3.05, 11-9, 10-7, 10-3.
Joe's been a little better than average. Yeah.
Joe has been outstanding with the Padres. Yeah, he took a couple of years figuring out his way when he was first with the Astros and then with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Playing for bad teams, you're also going to not have great records.
Beating the Pirates,
you can't simply look at his career record of 60-57 and say he's been an average pitcher. He's been a far above average pitcher in Major League Baseball the last 3 seasons. The Padres rewarded him for both that and his strong leadership role on the team
yep.
by giving him a $100 million contract extension for 5 years. And they need him now to pitch. He doesn't have to be a Cy Young Award
nope.
winner to justify that deal. Not by a long shot. But he needs to be a guy who's, again, pitching to an ERA in the 3s somewhere.
And hell, giving you even 4 at this.
And giving you an opportunity to win games. And right now, Joe has not been doing that through 7 starts against 6.94 ERA. 1.66 whip, just the base runners, the extra base hits, they've been jarring to see what Joe has been giving up this season, unfortunately.
It's been terrible, really, at night this season. It's been great during the day. 2-0 with a 2.77, so you can't really just pitch Joe Musgrove. Joe Musgrove's a guy that needs to be able to take the ball on a Friday night after a devastating loss in Colorado. And listen, again, it's a really hot Phillies team. We all know that, but you got to be able to get through at least 5-6 innings, keep your team in the game, and it just didn't happen. It did not happen. So I don't know. I had a guy yesterday, the first baseman of the team we were playing with, straight up asked me, what's wrong with Joe Musgrove? I said, buddy, if I knew, I would not be here. Trust me, I would be in the lab with Joe Musgrove. you know, helping them figure it out. He says, it's frustrating. I'm not discouraged. I got no problem working hard and finding my way out of this. I've been here before. I'll get back to where I need to be. Is it a feel thing? You know, is it because the spinners aren't spinning, and when they do spin, they spin right over the heart of the plate and they just get pummeled. And that's what's happened to Joe right now. So I really don't know. I really don't know what it is. I wish I did.
For those fans out there who always point, though, to the Padres just don't care enough when they struggle, say that to Joe Musgrove's face.
Yeah.
Say that Joe, the reason he's struggling is that he doesn't care enough. I dare you to say that to Joe Musgrove. I don't think any of us has any doubt about how much Joe wants to win for his hometown.
No doubt.
For the San Diego Padres, for his community, and the kind of guy he is, the kind of leadership that he provides, the stand-up person that he is. That does not prevent you from struggling in Major League Baseball
at
times.
This quote, I mean, yeah, that's, I haven't seen a lot of that about Joe.
No, I haven't, but you see it about other players.
But he says, cutting back on those numbers of pitches you leave over the middle is important. I got to be a little better. I'm excited. I'm ready to put in some work. I'm tired of feeling like this after starts, so I'm ready to earn it. It's a good mentality to have. You know, the execution obviously needs to be there, and it has been at times this year. There have been times where, in the wins that he has, you haven't felt like he's had good stuff all year. He's found a way to win those games.
Yeah.
For him,
strikeouts are down.
He's a guy that needs to keep us in the ball game, and it just didn't happen on Friday night, and it sucks. It sucks to see, because I love Joe too, and believe in him, and think that he can do it. You hate to see one of your guys, falter like that and struggle. So he's searching right now too. I'm gonna have his back. I'm looking forward to his next start. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do between Friday and his next start, which will come very soon this week. So we got to have him. He knows that.
Just remember, when Michael King struggles and gives up home runs, it doesn't necessarily mean it's because he doesn't care enough.
Right.
They are struggling right now. It may be mechanical. There may be some other issue that they haven't figured out yet. But the Padres pitching staff had a really rough weekend against a good team in the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, it did get Manny Machado back on Friday night, and it was good to see him not only returning from paternity leave, but playing third base for the first time all season, then DH'd on Saturday and was back at third base on Sunday. Don't know for sure what's going to happen today, but with a left-hander on the mound, there's a chance you might see Manny playing back-to-back days at third base for the first time. And, Mike Schilt has said that it's going to be a bit of a process. You're not going to see him out there every single day, but Manny's kind of recovery and how he's feeling is going to dictate how often he's going to be in the field versus being a designated hitter. But it was good to see Manny back out there.
It was great watching the two plays he made in the first inning. It was just like, all right, this is what I missed. Had a great, great view of it, and it was really nice to see him back there. And yeah, he's got to get it going with the bat, certainly. But yeah, man, just a tough, tough weekend all around. And I fully get everyone's frustration. I was feeling it too. God, had the Tier 1s lost yesterday. Ooh, I would have been the fussiest dude around. But yeah, I mean, honestly, the Phillies are the best team I've seen this year, straight up. They are the best team I've seen this year. But all that means is you're going to have to figure out a way to beat a team like that at some point. The Padres just don't look like they're that caliber of team right now.
No. I mean, in 2022, the Dodgers owned the Padres during the regular season, in the postseason.
Yeah.
It does happen. You don't have to dominate a team in the regular season, but you do have to get to the postseason. To me, that's the concerning part. You're going to have many more games against good teams the rest of the year. And Mike Schilt pointed out after the game yesterday, we've beaten some good teams this year. We've taken series from teams that will or expect to be in the postseason this year. Just because we didn't do it against the Phillies doesn't mean we can't play well against good teams.
Yes.
Padres have a winning record against the Dodgers so far this year. But there are more good teams than bad teams right now in the National League.
The
Reds coming in today are another team that you consider to be a team that wants to be a playoff contender at the end of the year.
You know, the thing is the inability of this team to string anything together is very reminiscent of last year. String more than a couple of wins together at a time. That's the mark of a mediocre team. And right now we are actually less than a mediocre team based on what our record says we are. So praying for a four-game winning streak, I mean, they're going to have to prove it to the fans. They're going to have to prove it to themselves that they can do it. What's our longest winning streak this year? Three?
Three.
Here we go again. like allergic to momentum. Just absolutely, you know, get a little momentum going and, you know, it's just, it's so frustrating to watch.
The only explanation that has really made any sense was one that Eno Saris offered us last year. And that is that the Padres had a bunch of guys in their lineup with similar swings. So
yeah.
When they're good against a pitcher, they're all good.
They're all good.
And when they're bad against a pitcher, they tend to all be bad.
Yeah.
And you just never know which pitchers you're going to run into. They may be the great pitchers. They may be the bad pitchers. And they just tend to struggle and succeed against the same type of guys. And that does make them susceptible to the feast or famine. Otherwise, for the most part, it's fairly inexplicable. They're one of the most unpredictable teams
100%.
Out there. Because it wouldn't surprise you if they came out tonight and put up 10 runs and had a great performance.
Yeah.
You know, it, with this Padres team, it really, like the Phillies, okay, they're going well. You expect them to play well for a while, and they'll go through their ruts. I mean, I think Jesse pointed out as I was listening to yesterday, maybe it was even Tony. The last 2 years, the Phillies have not gotten off to good starts at all. They have struggled early in the season, and then they figured it out as the year went along, and they ended up in the World Series and the National League Championship Series the last 2 years. This year, they're off to a much, much better start. Now, if you're a Phillies fan, I would assume that's encouraging. Like, okay, now we're really rolling. Or would you be a little bit tentative? Like, oh, now we're peaking too early this time. We've had a good thing going where we've kind of slowly built into becoming a better team as the year goes on.
Look, I think any team that can rip off 7-8 wins any time in the season. And again, let's be fair with that. If the A's win 8 games in a row, the A's aren't looking at each other going, we're making the playoffs. They just realize we just had a really hot week. When a team like the Phillies rips off 8, 9, 10 wins in a row, and then they hit a lull in August or somebody gets hurt or whatever, they know that they're capable of doing that and they're still a playoff team. I don't know that you can say that for the San Diego Padres. They have not proven that they can get hot and stay hot for any period of time longer than 3 days. So, I mean, until that happens, you hate to be constantly just prove it, but that's kind of the nature of the business. Prove it. Okay, good job today. Give me one tomorrow. Oh, you won today? Great. Give me one tomorrow. You're going to have to start putting... You win 4 games in a row, you're back to 500 right now, which is a real... That it kind of makes you sick to think about. So you just have to fight and claw. And yes, I know it's April still and almost May. So, but you don't want to be sitting at the end of May, Ben, 14 games under 500 or 12 games under 500. You're done. Season's over. You know, at that point.
No, three games under 500 right now feels like something that they need
three
to
or play. Four.
Three.
We're three.
14
yeah.
and 17.
14, 17.
But still, if for a team that can't win 4 in a row, that means you got to win 3 and then you lose 1. Then you got to win 3 more and then lose 1. And then with 2 more. And then maybe you can climb your way a couple of games above 500. Until you can string together 6 or 7 wins, you can erase 3 pretty easily if you ever won 6 or 7 in a row.
No doubt.
But we didn't see it last year until September, and we haven't seen it at all this year in the first month of the season.
We're not trending that direction right now at all. So.
Incorrect. Yeah, correct.
Yeah,
we're not trending that way. Now, is the season over? Absolutely not.
No.
Here are the teams that are within a game of the Padres right now. Giants, Cardinals, Diamondbacks, Nationals, bunched up. I mean, the Padres are still only 2 games out of the playoff spot at this point.
Yep.
Season's far from over. They're only a month in. You can't just write off the Padres as this is a lost cause in 2024. They're certainly not going to do that. And things will look very different with a good week or two at some point.
Yeah, I mean, a good week this week completely changes the narrative. But that's fine. That's what baseball and covering baseball and being a baseball fan is all about. I'm glad they have a game tonight. I know they're ready to leave Philly in the dust. You know, you have to. You move on and try to beat the Reds, who've got some really exciting young players as well, and they're hungry too. So let's see who's hungrier. You know, basically, and you got still feel like it's a team you should beat. Matt Waldron, big start for him tonight. Continues to have to prove it to everybody. And if he pitches like he did in Coors Field, I like our chances.
We'll have more on that series coming up in the second half of Ben and Woods. We'll also be joined by Sam Levitt in Season Sammy, our Padres pre- and post-game show host, will be with us at 8:35 this morning as we look back at the weekend that was. But we'll take a quick time out for the top of the hour. Be back in like 3 minutes, and we reset everything, get started again on a Monday morning with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Be right back. talked earlier about how the Padres just need Xander Bogaerts to perform better. There's not really no way around that. There's no cheating the system. There's no replacements for Xander. There's no way to bench him permanently, release him, trade him. There's no options. You could pretty much say the same thing about Joe Musgrove right now as well. They just need him to be better. Normally, you know, you count on guys like that to perform. Talk about Friday night's unfortunate performance in the series opener as Joe again struggles with the long ball. Coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And so far this season, hitting 194 with six home runs. Sends this one in the air to very deep right field. Tatis back at the wall. Fernando will watch, and it will go. A moonshot that just drops down onto the home run deck beyond the right field fence. A leadoff homer for Kyle Schwarber, and the Phillies take a 1-0 lead.
Kyle Schwarber and Petco Park moonshots. Name a better combo.
It's we talked about it on the air. I gave his numbers on Friday, and I just said, you know, watch out. Watch out for Kyle Schwarber. And first batter of the game. And you know, Fourth pitch of the series. You get... We got to our seats, had our Cracker Jacks, and ready to go and watch. Manny was back watching him. It was so nice to see Manny back at third. And he was chatting up the umpire and the third base coach and just slinging missiles across the field. He gets tested in the first inning, too, which was great to see him back at third. It just was. It's a completely different player. That being said, yeah, you look up and you're like, all right, well, there goes that.
Sometimes the first batter doesn't indicate the tone for an entire series, but
that one did.
This time it does. It absolutely did. It was the first of 9 home runs that the Padres allowed to the Philadelphia Phillies in the series, and Joe Musgrove unfortunately gave up 4 of them in 3 2/3 innings. 8 hits, 7 earned runs allowed. His ERA is up to almost 7 this season, and I think the biggest cause for concern is that there's no necessarily injury that's causing it. There is a small dip in velocity, but there's no real reason to explain it at the moment. Joe Musgrove simply has not been Joe Musgrove to start this year. And if he does not turn it around, the Padres don't really have the pitching depth this year to overcome one of their top, you know, most consistent performers not coming through. And I totally disagree with Jed in our chat, who says, oh, Musgrove has 60 career wins and 57 career losses. He's average at best, but the only thing Padres fans remember is the no-no. That is completely false. Joe's ERAs with the San Diego Padres, 3.18, 2.93, 3.05, 11-9, 10-7, 10-3.
Joe's it's a little better than average. Yeah.
Joe has been outstanding with the Padres. Yeah, he took a couple of years figuring out his way when he was first with the Astros and then with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Playing for bad teams, you're also going to not have great records.
Being the Pirates,
you can't simply look at his career record of 60-57 and say he's been an average pitcher. He's been a far above average pitcher in Major League Baseball the last 3 seasons. The Padres rewarded him for both that and his strong leadership role on the team by giving him a $100 million contract extension for 5 years. And they need him now to pitch. He doesn't have to be a Cy Young Award winner to justify that deal. Not by a long shot. But he needs to be a guy who's, again, pitching to an ERA in the threes somewhere. Giving you an opportunity to win games. And right now, Joe has not been doing that through 7 starts against 6.94 ERA, 1.66 whip. Just the base runners, the extra base hits, they've been jarring to see what Joe has been giving up this season, unfortunately.
It's been terrible, really, at night this season. It's been great during the day. 2-0 with a 2.77. So you can't really just pitch Joe Musgrove. Joe Musgrove's a guy that needs to be able to take the ball on a Friday night after a devastating loss in Colorado. And listen, again, it's a really hot Phillies team. We all know that. But you got to be able to get through at least 5-6 innings, keep your team in the game, and it just didn't happen. It did not happen. So I don't know. I had a guy yesterday, the first baseman of the team we were playing with, straight up asked me, what's wrong with Joe Musgrove? I said, buddy, if I knew, I would not be here. Trust me. I would be in the lab with Joe Musgrove, helping him figure it out. He says, it's frustrating. I'm not discouraged. I got no problem working hard and finding my way out of this. I've been here before. I'll get back to where I need to be. Is it a feel thing? You know, it's a, is it because the spinners aren't spinning, and when they do spin, they spin right over the heart of the plate, and they just get pummeled. And that's what's happened to Joe right now. So I really don't know. I really don't know what it is. I wish I did.
For those fans out there who always point, though, to the Padres just don't care enough when they struggle, say that to Joe Musgrove's face.
Yeah.
Say that Joe, the reason he's struggling is that he doesn't care enough. I dare you to say that to Joe Musgrove. I don't think any of us has any doubt about how much Joe wants to win for his hometown.
No doubt.
For the San Diego Padres, for his community, and the kind of guy he is, the kind of leadership that he provides, the stand-up person that he is. That does not prevent you from struggling in Major League Baseball
well,
at times.
This quote, I mean, yeah, that's, I haven't seen a lot of that about Joe.
No, I haven't, but you see it about other players.
But he says, cutting back on those numbers of pitches you leave over the middle is important. I got to be a little better. I'm excited. I'm ready to put in some work. I'm tired of feeling like this after starts, so I'm ready to earn it. It's a good mentality to have. You know, the execution obviously needs to be there, and it has been at times this year. There have been times where, in the wins that he has, you haven't felt like he's had good stuff all year. He's found a way to win those games.
Yeah.
For him,
strikeouts are down.
He's a guy that needs to keep us in the ball game, and it just didn't happen on Friday night, and it sucks. It sucks to see because I love Joe too, and believe in him, and think that he can do it. You hate to see one of your guys, falter like that and struggle. So he's searching right now too. I'm gonna have his back. I'm looking forward to his next start. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do between Friday and his next start, which will come very soon this week. So we got to have him. He knows that.
Just remember, when Michael King struggles and gives up home runs, it doesn't necessarily mean it's because he doesn't care enough.
Right.
They are struggling right now. It may be mechanical. There may be some other issue that they haven't figured out yet. But the Padres pitching staff had a really rough weekend against a good team in the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, it did get Manny Machado back on Friday night, and it was good to see him not only returning from paternity leave, but playing third base for the first time all season, then DH'd on Saturday and was back at third base on Sunday. Don't know for sure what's going to happen today, but with a left-hander on the mound, there's a chance you might see Manny playing back-to-back days at third base for the first time. And, Mike Shildt has said that it's going to be a bit of a process. You're not going to see him out there every single day, but Manny's kind of recovery and how he's feeling is going to dictate how often he's going to be in the field versus being a designated hitter. But it was good to see Manny back out there.
It was great watching the two plays he made in the first inning. It was just like, all right, this is what I missed. Had a great, great view of it. And it was really nice to see him back there. And yeah, he's got to get it going with the bat, certainly. But yeah, man, just a tough, tough weekend all around. And I fully get everyone's frustration. I was feeling it too. God, had the Tier 1s lost yesterday. Ooh, I would have been the fussiest dude around. But yeah, I mean, honestly, the Phillies are the best team I've seen this year, straight up. They are the best team I've seen this year. But all that means is you're going to have to figure out a way to beat a team like that at some point. The Padres just don't look like they're that caliber of team right now.
No. I mean, in 2022, the Dodgers own the Padres during the regular season, in the postseason.
Yeah.
It does happen. You don't have to dominate a team in the regular season, but you do have to get to the postseason. To me, that's the concerning part. You're going to have many more games against good teams the rest of the year. And Mike Shildt pointed out after the game yesterday, we've beaten some good teams this year. We've taken series from teams that will or expect to be in the postseason this year. Just because we didn't do it against the Phillies doesn't mean we can't play well against good teams.
Yes.
Padres have a winning record against the Dodgers so far this year. But there are more good teams than bad teams right now in the National League.
The
Reds coming in today are another team that you consider to be a team that wants to be a playoff contender at the end of the year.
You know, the thing is the inability of this team to string anything together is very reminiscent of last year. String more than a couple of wins together at a time. That's the mark of a mediocre team. And right now we are actually less than a mediocre team based on what our record says we are. So praying for a four-game winning streak, I mean, they're going to have to prove it to the fans. They're going to have to prove it to themselves that they can do it. What's our longest winning streak this year? Three?
Three.
Three. Here we go again. Like allergic to momentum. Just absolutely, get a little momentum going and You know, it's just, it's so frustrating to watch.
The only explanation that has really made any sense was one that Eno Saris offered us last year. And that is that the Padres had a bunch of guys in their lineup with similar swings. So
yeah.
When they're good against a pitcher, they're all good.
They're all good.
And when they're bad against a pitcher, they tend to all be bad.
Yeah.
And you just never know which pitchers you're going to run into. They may be the great pitchers. They may be the bad pitchers. And they just tend to struggle and succeed against the same type of guys, and that does make them susceptible to the feast or famine. Otherwise, for the most part, it's fairly inexplicable. They're one of the most unpredictable teams
100%.
Out there. Because it wouldn't surprise you if they came out tonight and put up 10 runs and had a great performance.
Yeah.
You know, it, with this Padres team, it really, like the Phillies, okay, they're going well. You expect them to play well for a while, and they'll go through their ruts. I mean, someone, I think Jesse pointed out as I was listening to yesterday, maybe it was even Tony. The last 2 years, the Phillies have not gotten off to good starts
yeah.
at all. They have struggled early in the season, and then they figured it out as the year went along, and they ended up in the World Series and the National League Championship Series the last 2 years. This year, they're off to a much, much better start. Now, if you're a Phillies fan, I would assume that's encouraging. Like, okay, now we're really rolling. Or would you be a little bit tentative? Like, oh, now we're peaking too early this time. We've had a good thing going where we've kind of slowly built into becoming a better team as the year goes on.
Look, I think any team that can rip off 7-8 wins any time in the season. And again, let's be fair with that. If the A's win 8 games in a row, the A's aren't looking at each other going, we're making the playoffs. They just realize we just had a really hot week. When a team like the Phillies rips off 8, 9, 10 wins in a row, and then they hit a lull in August or somebody gets hurt or whatever, they know that they're capable of doing that and they're still a playoff team. I don't know that you can say that for the San Diego Padres. They have not proven that they can get hot and stay hot for any period of time longer than 3 days. So, I mean, until that happens, you hate to be constantly just prove it, but that's kind of the nature of the business. Prove it. Okay, good job today. Give me one tomorrow. Oh, you won today? Great. Give me one tomorrow. You're going to have to start putting – you win 4 games in a row, you're back to 500 right now, which is a real – that it kind of makes you sick to think about. So you just have to fight and claw. And, yes, I know it's April still and almost May. So but you don't want to be sitting at the end of May, Ben, 14 games under 500 or 12 games under 500. You're done. Season's over. You know, at that point.
No, so. 3 games under 500 right now feels like something that they need
three
to
or play. Four.
Three.
We're three.
14
yeah.
and 17.
14, 17.
But still, if for a team that can't win 4 in a row, that means you got to win 3 and then you lose 1. Then you got to win 3 more and then
yeah.
lose 1. And then with 2 more and then maybe you can climb your way a couple of games above 500. Until you can string together 6 or 7 wins, you can erase 3 pretty easily
sure.
if you ever won 6 or 7 in a row.
No doubt.
But we didn't see it last year until September, and we haven't seen it at all this year in the first month of the season.
We're not trending that direction right now at all. So.
Incorrect. Yeah,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah,
we're not trending that way. Now, is the season over? Absolutely not.
No.
Here are the teams that are within a game of the Padres right now. Giants, Cardinals, Diamondbacks, Nationals, bunched up. I mean, the Padres are still only 2 games out of
yeah.
the playoff spot at this point.
Yep.
Season's far from over. They're only a month in. You can't just write off the Padres as this is a lost cause in 2024. They're certainly not going to do that. And it, you know, things will look very different with a good week or two at some point.
Yeah, I mean, a good week this week completely changes the narrative. But that, I mean, listen, and that's fine. That's what baseball and covering baseball and being a baseball fan is all about. I'm glad they have a game tonight. I know they're ready to leave Philly in the dust. You know, you have to. You move on and try to beat the Reds, who've got some really exciting young players as well, and they're hungry too. So let's see who's hungrier. You know, basically, and you got still feel like it's a team you should beat. Matt Waldron, big start for him tonight. Continues to have to prove it to everybody. And if he pitches like he did in Coors Field, I like our chances.
We'll have more on that series coming up in the second half of Ben and Woods. We'll also be joined by Sam Levitt in Season Sammy, our Padres pre- and post-game show host, will be with us at 8:35 this morning as we look back at the weekend that was. But we'll take a quick time out for the top of the hour. Be back in like 3 minutes, and we reset everything, get started again on a Monday morning with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Ralava?
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.